Welcome back to the Food Rights Hour, brought to you by the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. As you can tell, I'm still getting the hang of how these breaks work, but we are back quicker than I had thought we would be. And why don't we go ahead and go to line three in Werner in Canada. You're on.
Hello?
Good evening. That's so on. But on a consumer, they need more information than what we have been getting by the mainstream media. Just one question I want to ask. How many percent of the total food supply of the people are being fulfilled by direct marketing?
Larry, do you have good numbers on what percent is direct marketing? I hear different things, anywhere from, 1 to 4% is what I've heard. What about you?
Well, I'm hearing the same thing, which is a very small piece of the pie.
The big boys
want all the pie. So if they want our little 1 to 2%, I guess they can get it if they can. But it's not that great, We need more
to
share of that.
What was the total food supply that was being supplied by the direct marketing roughly about 80 years ago?
Oh, I don't. I have no idea of those numbers,
I would assume
it was much higher. But, even 80 years ago, it wouldn't have been 100%, but it would have been much bigger
at the time there were already the big packing houses, and so they were already there.
Yeah. Obviously the majority of the food supply was, if not direct marketed, certainly locally supplied. It may have gone through a local grocer store, but it was the vast majority of it 80 years ago.
Well, local.
Trucking
and refrigeration just sort of revolutionized everything. And I know that happened here in East Austin back in the 50s when they started shipping spinach out of here. They would ice it down and then ship spinach out of Austin. Here in Austin, Texas, they would ship that spinach out all over the United States on rail cars and stuff like that because they had ice and things like that. So refrigeration definitely made a big difference in our food supply because you could just ship it longer distances.
Plus another factor that came in, low cost for fuel.
Yeah, cheap oil.
Cheap oil, yes, certainly.
So we got a long way to go.
We're just beginning to turn the tide on this, and people, on a political side, I think people get overly optimistic about the strength our movement has, and our strength is in the fact that we've got passionate farmers and passionate consumers, but we're still a tiny percentage of the population.
Absolutely. Yeah, and what happens to the rest of the people? They want to be fed, too.
Yeah, I feel bad for the folks going to the grocery stores. Some of it's their choice, but it's still not a happy place to be.
Yeah, but what brought them into that predicament that is their only choice now, or nearly their only choice? Government policies.
Absolutely. Larry, you guys are down the street from a big grocery store, and at the same time you're down the street from downtown Austin.
We're completely covered up with big grocery stores here. There's one on every street corner off. I'm not going to say that grocery stores don't have a part to play, but certainly we need to have a lot. We can't be everything to everybody. There's a lot of people that's my sister-in-law says, I don't like that good food sometimes, because we drum it into their heads all the time. You need to eat local. You need to eat fresh grains. You need to eat all this stuff fresh. Well, we don't like good food all the time.
Well, let's hold on to that thought and come back to it right after this break.
That's a game that I hate to lose. I'm feeling the strain. Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
After day, I'm more confused.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendovite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and 5 other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendovite.
Extendovite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendovite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy.
Welcome back to the Food Rights Hour, brought to you by the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. The Legal Defense Fund advocates for local food rights, protecting small farmers and pursuing public interest litigation to protect the rights of consumers. We have memberships for both consumers and farmer members may be eligible for legal assistance. You can visit our website at www.farmtoconsumer.org. This Food Rights Hour is a new show for us. This is our second week on the air. You can listen to the broadcast live Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Central or go online through www.republicbroadcasting.org. Before the break, we were talking with Werner in Canada, and I think he's still on. Werner, did you have any final comments?
Well, I'm Fonia from New Brunswick in eastern Canada. And about a week ago, I attended a food conference in Moncton. And the figures that are there, they're pretty disturbing. When 100 years ago, basically here in this region, the people were self-sufficient in food. Now 85% of the food is being brought into the region. While a lot of good farmland has been reverted back to wilderness. And what was part of the problem? Government grants.
Absolutely. The government regulations for MEDEC is, of course, there. The specifics are different in our two countries. Now, the specifics are different, but the big picture is very much the same, I think.
I came here 41 years ago, but I got good information about the way things used to be here. And at one time there were about four or five abattoirs in the province. And the provincial government picked favorites. You know, they were popping up with grants, so they basically pushed the competition out. In the end, there was only one big abattoir left here in Moncton. And a few years ago, when the BSE crisis came to, you know, to the worst part, on top of that we were being hurt by the BSE crisis, even so we didn't have any cases of BSE here in eastern Canada, the provincial government decided and allowed this last abattoir to close, which basically puts the nail into the coffin of the livestock farmers.
The
farmers, they have to ship their cattle and their pigs up to 1,000 miles before they get slaughtered, and then the meat is being shipped back into the region.
Yeah, now, as a livestock farmer, I can vouch. I mean, one of the hardest things is access to a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when we have access, you know, the amount of expense that's involved because of the government regulations on the slaughterhouse that make it very difficult for small-scale slaughterhouses to survive, they have to pass the costs on to us, which means we have to pass the costs on to our customers. And, you know, when folks talk about the high price of, you know, like the grass-fed meats at local markets, you know, I can tell you, you know, I'm my mission now is from my farming is start educating them about how much of that cost has to do with the slaughterhouse costs, which have to do with government regulations. And if we didn't have this layer upon layer upon layer of government regulations, they could be getting their meat 30% cheaper. Just that's what it costs us.
At the present time, we are getting the lowest prices for beef here in eastern Canada since 1949.
So thank you so much for calling, Werner. Thank you. I'm going to put a break on this because I want to head back, you know, and talk produce with Larry. But thank you so much for calling in. And yeah, I think we're facing a lot of the same problems on both sides of the border.
Oh, yes, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, regulations. You know, if you wanted to get animals slaughtered here. I'm not in the animal end of the business, but, you know, there's just certain things that, you know, you have to go to certain approved slaughterhouses and facilities. And, I mean, you know, the deck is stacked against the small rancher, and it's going to take a tremendous amount of work on your part to try to help us fix some of that. But, I mean, there we are. You know, I mean, the money and the lobbyists and the government, it's tough.
And let's talk about the regulations on it for a minute, because I know, you know, y'all are produce farmers, but one of the wonderful things about Boggy Creek is folks can go to it and they can get both the produce and they can get cheeses and dairy products and meat because you guys help other farmers sell their products.
Yes,
but
we
also
do
know
like
that,
to.
That
there's like
some hurdles on that. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah, there's hurdles that you have to jump on that. But, you know, yeah, we want to support other local local producers here in this area, and we do, and we're proud of it.
But it's one of those things that's hard. You and I have also talked, and one of the big issues, of course, for the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund is raw milk availability, because
So
many people want raw milk, and it's such a target for the government that the FDA is intent on just stomping it out.
I mean, it's just incredible the way they jump all over it. I mean, it doesn't even make reasonable sense the way they jump on it.
I know, do you guys get a lot of inquiries? Do folks ask you about?
Oh, yes,
you know?
Certainly we do. We get inquiries all the time about, you know, raw milk, and we say we can't sell it. You know, we just can't do it. It's just not allowed. I mean, it's just you're trying to sell some kind of dope or something. I mean,
I joke, it's like doing a drug deal. It's like, I'll meet you in the parking lot and exchange money for the white stuff.
Oh yeah, you know, you get a gallon of raw milk and you put it in a brown paper sack and you meet up in a parking lot somewhere out in the middle of a cotton field or something and you make the big exchange or something. It's like you've just done a dope deal or something. Oh my God, I'm not so sure. They'd probably throw you in jail longer for the raw milk than they would for dope, so who knows.
Well, you know, if it were truly up to the FDA, I think that'd be true. So far, they haven't gone there, but FDA administrators had their way, that's where they'd go.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
That's one of the things, you know, of course, you know, I started briefly before you were on the call talking about the fact that, you know, I'm sure folks who are listening have heard probably something about the food safety bill. I mean, there's been so much on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at one point, there was an attempt to put criminal penalties into that bill. Senator Leahy of Vermont had introduced a bill that was intended to be attached as an amendment that would have allowed FDA to slap criminal penalties of up to 10 years in prison on people for violating the bill. And,
oh, Lord.
I mean, I'll tell you, I know a lot of raw milk farmers who took one look at that thing and went, yeah, I see my name written all over that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we know a lot of people that would be sent off to the camps, wouldn't we, for doing that kind of thing, if those kind of laws were were active.
You know, and actually, like I said, bringing this back and staying on produce, because that is, you guys are the gods, the experts on that. You know,
produce is what we do, and we've done it for so many years, and everything. But we've seen a lot of things change. You know, things that we could use 10 years ago in organic agriculture are no longer allowed. You know, and certain products are not allowed, and they used to be. And now some of them are, you know, used to be wide open, you could use them, and now they're really heavily restricted, and things like that. So yeah, the laws have changed. It's made it tougher to to put the product on the table, and a lot of it has to do with that. You know, it does have a lot to do with price. You know, I mean, when the rules and regulations change, it just makes it tougher to do business. And but I guess we'll just keep on doing it as long as we have the love and the passion for it. We'll just keep on doing it.
I'm gonna drag this into unhappy territory, but I think folks need to hear it from the farmer's mouth as we talk about some of the regulations that FDA would consider putting in place. And one of the things, of course, that, you know, not of course, but some people may have heard of is a term, good agricultural practices.
Mm-hmm.
It's also referred to as produce safety standards. People use the example of the Leafy Greens Marketing Agreement. All of these boil down to things that would tell the farmer how to harvest and grow their crops. And I actually used y'all as an example when I was trying to talk to FDA about this. They held hearings a while back, and I went and spoke at one. And I listened to them first. First, the industry guys spoke, and FDA spoke, you know, the official panel. And one of the industry guys said things like, you know, well, we know FDA is talking about doing a standard for melons, and we think it's important that you understand that the risks are different for watermelons versus cantaloupe. And we really need different standards for those two crops. And you know, they were talking about a standard for tomatoes and a standard for leafy greens and a different standard for cantaloupes. And the list just went on. And I started thinking about you guys and the variety of food that you grow and what it would mean to you if there were different standards for all of these foods and you had to figure out how to make that work on the land. I mean, I'd love you to give that some thought and sort of envision, is there any way for you to do different standards for tomatoes versus leafy greens versus melons versus, you know, squashes?
Well, of course it would drive us out of this. We just wouldn't be able to do it. But, you know, of course I don't know what a lot of those rules, you know, I don't know what a lot of those standards are, you know. And, you know, the thing about it, a lot of the bigger people, you know, they think the leafy green thing, so, you know, where you test certain batches of leafy greens. Well, if we had to do that, we'd just be out of the leafy green business. But if you were some huge company that rolls this stuff out with the 18-wheeler load, you know, they can test they have the wherewithal to do the testing. And they know we don't. And so, just a lot of, you know, the more arduous the rules are, the less competition that these guys are going to have. And, you know, with the big dairies, for instance, they would like to put these rules and regulations. They want to get this thing stopped. They want to get it nipped in the bud. Because they've kind of seen what's happened to the produce industry. It's grown. Our produce industry is growing 20% a year.
Well, we're heading into a break, and we'll pick this up on the other side of it.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans, thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Welcome back to the Food Rights Hour, brought to you by the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. You can visit our website at www.farmtoconsumer.org. And as we were heading to the break, Larry and I were talking about the whole issue of, you know, government regulations of how food is grown and the difference between putting these sorts of regulations on small farms versus, you know, the big corporate places and the big monocultures. You know, Larry, we kind of broke you off in the middle of that. Do you want to pick
sure.
up?
Well, yeah, you know, in some of the big companies, what happens is on the little guy, if he's forced to come up with all these, say, HACCP rules and things for his particular farm or, you know, some of these food safety issues, a lot of the big boys, they already do that stuff. I mean, it's not so arduous on them to do it because, heck, you know, a lot of them already test a lot of their products and, before they ever leave the, as they should, before they leave the loading docks. But for us, I mean, I don't know how we would, you know, take our produce, leafy greens, and have them tested before we could sell them. It'd be kind of ridiculous because sometimes we go out in the field and we cut the greens, wash them up and sell them to people within a 15-minute period of time. So it'd be kind of arduous for us to try to test this stuff. But, you know, food diversification, you know, we have to keep going back to that just a little bit. Food, you know, more diversification, more growers, people eat healthier and eat local and keep the money where it should be, which is in their local economies.
You know, know, it makes me think, you know, the whole issue of local food and diversification and talking to you about this, you know, big agribusiness keeps throwing the challenge out with, you know, what we can't feed the world with organics. You can't feed the world with small farms. And
if you've got enough of them, you can.
That's, yeah, exactly. You know, and then the same vein, it's like, wait a second, I'm not trying to feed the world. I'm trying to feed my community. And if everyone tried to feed their community.
Well, you know, I love it when they say, well, you know, these small farms can't feed the world. Well, those big boys are not completely feeding the world either. Think about it, you know. It may be just our little old 3 or 4 or 5%, but that amount of they're not feeding.
No,
and you know, there's a lot of markets in other countries that are not dependent on big stores and, you know, big fast food chains and stuff to feed the world. So they're not feeding the world either. So, you know, they don't want to give up, they don't want to give up their share. They do not want to give up any more of their share whatsoever. And just really don't care about good, healthy food, I don't think. But
it's amazing to me the threat that they seem to see us as. You know,
we're a huge threat. We're a huge threat because they want all the pie.
And
they don't want to share any of the pie.
And I think it's also not, I think it's not just the money involved in that 1 or 2 or 3 or 4%. I think it's the existence, the questions we raise by being who we are. You know,
exactly.
So, you know, guys write about the hen house and you talk about how wonderful your chickens are and how, you know, the life they lead and how wonderful their eggs are as a result, raises the question of, well, then what is Pilgrim's Pride doing?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, and our birds are healthy. They're very healthy. We've got one in there that's about 12 or 14 years old. So we have healthy chickens, always have had, and people love the eggs that come out of the hen house. We don't have many, but we have some. And, you know, I mean, you know, when the general public comes out to the farm and they see that, they think, wow, you know, this is the kind of food I want to eat. These are the kind of eggs I want to eat. And that's a little scary to some of the big boys. So they would like to keep that as quiet as they possibly can. Or that's the way I perceive it. I may be wrong.
Now, I think it's right. And, you know, I think of this every time I hear a commercial for one of the big businesses, you know, our chickens are natural, don't mess with Mother Nature, and all these other slogans they come up with. And I'm like, you know, all anyone has to do is see Boggy Creek or read one of Carol Ann's stories and realize that that commercial has no substance to it. And their entire PR campaign comes cratering down.
Well, this is, you know, you're right about that. And, you know, and I just want to thank you for everything you've done. I mean, you know, to help out the farmers and the ranchers and, try to help some of those bureaucrats up there see the light a little better. You've really been a champion for that. And, because my cell phone may go out, I just wanted to let everybody know out there that, they should join the Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance, or, you know, join your organization, because it takes a lot of effort out there and a lot of money to try to keep our you know, our farmers and ranchers, you know, keep somebody up there in the big house, you know, working for us, fighting for us. And you've really been good at it, and I want to thank you for everything you've done for us here at Boggy Creek and everybody else, especially here in the Central Texas area, that have gained from your efforts.
Thank you so much, Larry. And I, you know, it's funny, when I started activist work, that's how I met you and Carol Ann, and how I've met up so many other people, and I just feel incredibly blessed. It's been an exhausting but really wonderful journey. So we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes after this break. Stay tuned. Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Shocking, terrifying, but very truthful and revealing. Finally, a documentary on the horrifying results of unopposed estrogen. Estrogen dominance. Are we writing our own epitaph? I urge you to go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner and watch the documentary, The Disappearing Male. To my knowledge, this is the first documentary about the threat that unopposed estrogen poses to our survival as a species. It's a real eye-opener. But the documentary gives no solution to the problem. We have the solution. If we don't get the progesterone message to the younger generation, especially the young women, our very survival is in jeopardy. Again, that website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner. After viewing, please visit our website, www.healthlinkamerica.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back to the Food Rights Hour, brought to you by the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. Our website is www.farmtoconsumer.org. And before the break, I probably should clarify, you know, I wear a lot of different hats. This show, farmtoconsumer.org show, is going to be hosted by a different person each week. I'll be on once a month. Pete Kennedy, another attorney, will be on once a month. Tim Whiteman, one of the leading experts on raw milk farming, will be hosting it once a month. And I believe Kayla Daniel, who is an incredible advocate for consumers and nutrition, an expert on things such as the effect of soy on your body, she'll be hosting it once a month. So you get a wide range of folks. All of us are board members of the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, which advocates for local food rights and protecting small farmers through litigation. And so that's one hat I wear. And Larry kind of referred to another hat I wear, which is I also am involved with a group called the Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance, and that's where I do most of my lobbying work, trying to get the laws changed on this. You know, and, you know, everyone's working on, you know, the same goal, which is how do we protect our small farmers and protect consumers' access to food. And that's a huge task, and we need a lot of people involved. We need folks who are listening to this to get involved. Check out the website, and become active. And one of the things I talk a lot about is how to be an activist and how you can be effective at making change. I'll be giving a talk on it at the Acres Conference next week, and I'm going to start trying to get stuff up on the website about it. And you know, I just encourage folks to get involved because that's what it takes. And I met Larry when he stepped forward to get involved and was helping to fight National Animal ID System. And, you know, that's how we got to know each other and become friends. And, you know, there are wonderful people out there, and we need more.
Well, thank you. You know, it's just, you know, we have to kind of stand up and fight for our freedom and our rights in this country. I mean, they're falling by the wayside every day. And you know, we need people like you, Judith, helping us fight the legal battles. I mean, I just don't, you know, I can give you support and everything, but I don't know all the legalese and who I need to go lobby and do all this thing. And that's what you do, and you're so great at it. But, you know, we've got to try to, I would like to see this country and our freedoms and our rights, I'd like to see them preserved. I know my father was in World War II, and I went to Vietnam, and my stepson went to one of these, was going to the Gulf War in the Marines and things like that. You know, we go to and fight for our country to, you know, to preserve some of these rights and freedoms, and my Lord, we're just giving them away to every little old special interest that comes around. And we just need to, as Joyce Riley put it one day, we need to get the lace off our panties and get after these guys and let them know that we're not happy losing our freedoms and rights in this country.
Absolutely.
And certainly our food is a huge issue here. And you know we won't save food. Everybody won't save food. And we're gonna deliver safe food. And we want to keep the government out of our back pockets doing it.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a caller who's been waiting patiently, so let's go over to Mike from Minnesota. You're
Hello?
On the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in. Do you have something you wanted to ask Larry or pitch in on this?
I got a couple things. One is this food tyranny bill. They don't take into account that, you know, everybody can't afford to go and buy everything that they need from the grocery store. I'll give you, like, my situation, for instance. I have a wife that's very ill that I have to care for basically on a 24-hour-a-day basis, plus do all my chores with the animals, everything else. We have a Social Security check between the two of us, okay, because I have to take care of her. I can't work, and, you know, and so we grow almost all of our own food. Now, here it is. They're saying that that's unsafe, but I right down the mile from me on the corner is a pig factory. That's what I call them because that's what they are. It's not a farm. It's four giant sheds that have, they just put in a new, at my expense, 450,000-gallon tank for the... These pigs live on top of their manure, the manure pits. Well, they got two of them. There's nothing I can do about the 80 acres behind my house, of which the guy just hired the pig factory to come out here and spread that liquid sludge all over the fields. And they come out every other week with two pallets full 4 feet high of antibiotics that they feed these pigs. Well, that stuff goes into the tank. It goes into the hose out on the field. We don't have rural water, if you know what that is.
Yes.
We have our own well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, eventually that stuff...
It's going to contaminate that well.
It's going to get... You know, we have a Berkey water filter, thank God. But, you know, and there's nothing I can say about them doing that. I don't know if you ever heard of a land stewardship project.
Yeah.
I talked to a lady who runs that, and they work with small farmers. And I talked to a lady just a couple years ago who runs land stewardship for Western Minnesota, and she told me, because I was talking to her about when they put in the second barn, I noticed almost immediately our water that I could sprinkle our gardens with went down by probably 30-40%. I mean, almost immediately. And she said, that's nothing. I'm working with over 1,000 families on farms in the country right now that have no water. That these pig factories that they set up, and this is one of the ways how they make money too, none of these pig factories are on rural, you know, CAFO operations are on rural waters. They'd have to pay for that. They drill well after well after well, and if the well finally gives up the ghost, well, they just move on. Meanwhile, all the people for miles around these factories are without water. We can't afford $10,000 to have rural water put in and then a bill for the rest of our lives.
Yes, no,
that's what is happening, and you never hear about this on the news.
Yeah, no, it's a huge problem. I want to clarify one thing before I pass this over to Larry, but, you know, there are a huge number of problems with the food safety bill, and I'd encourage everyone to go to farmtoconsumer.org. There's some excellent analysis of the bill posted there. You know, there are a lot of problems. It doesn't cover people who are growing food for themselves. So, it does not. It covers anyone who's selling food.
So in other words, I don't have, come springtime, I don't have to go plow my grapes under?
You know, if you're growing food for yourself and you're not selling it, the bill doesn't apply to you. But there's still, I'm not trying to minimize the problems with the bill. There are a huge number of problems with it. But, you know, just on that situation, you're not covered by it. But like I said, there's a good analysis up on farmtoconsumer.org. And of course, you know, this issue keeps changing. I mean, this bill keeps changing. You know, there have been some protections put in through the Tester-Hagen Amendment to try to protect farms like Boggy Creek, but they're not perfect. The protections aren't perfect, and there's still also concern that agribusiness may try to strip that amendment out. So, you know, we've sort of been talking about some of the issues, not so much about the bill itself, but this is a huge issue, and I encourage folks to check out the website. But, Larry, I mean, I know you've also run up against the water issue and what it means for farmers to have access to water.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's been so many wells drilled around here, and there's been so much other, you know, water-using activity. I mean, we have problems with having enough well water here, and I think water's a huge issue. And I know several farmers that, you know, their wells have run dry, and, you know, big government agencies and things like that to put in these huge parks, knowing that there's not a lot of water in the aquifer, they just go ahead and drill it and suck it out anyway. And several smaller farms around here are virtually doing without water just because they've pretty much their water's been taken from them.
And of course, the one advantage you have as an urban producer is you don't get these huge feedlot siting next to you. That's one of the issues that the food safety bill doesn't deal with, and it's, as one of another activist has put it, the elephant in the room is the E. coli 0157 that's being bred, basically, and spread through these feedlots because it's so much more prevalent in the guts of the cows that are being force-fed grain. And you know, the food safety bill doesn't touch on it.
You know, when you have CAFOs when you have these huge, gigantic CAFOs and these big chicken barns and turkey barns and hog farms and hog factories. All these things are factories. They're really not farms. But anytime you amass that amount of animals into a small cramped area, you're going to have issues with water. I don't see there's any doubt of, you know, there's no way around it. And here again, good old local farm raised chicken, and that's the way to go in my eye. But I don't know. We definitely have problems. We have issues with our food system in this country, and it's going to take a lot of fight, knowing your part, Judith, to help us keep this stuff straightened out. So keep up the good work, and we'll keep pulling for you.
I appreciate the compliments, but I'm again going to say I'm not letting anybody off the hook because, and I'm not aiming this at you because you are so active and fabulous. I'm aiming at every single listener out there that we need everybody to become activists and to be involved because
that's true.
You know, it's on everyone's shoulders.
Yeah, if you just sit back and you don't say anything, well, you know, a lot of people, they go to the store, they get food, and they get plenty of food to eat. They think, well, you know, I don't have a problem. But, you know, really they do. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And, yeah, we can't let anybody off the hook. And people sitting up in the high rises in the cities, they're the ones that are going to be wound up, will wind up being affected by these things. So they need to get active too.
Absolutely.
You know, if you eat, you need to kiss your farmers all the way.
So, Mike from Minnesota, thank you so much for calling in. I wish you all the best. It sounds like you're struggling with a difficult situation, but making an incredibly good job of it.
Could I ask you one?
Sure.
You could help me with something. A couple of years ago, when they had the county I live in, just happens to be like I call it hog heaven, because you can't drive almost 3 miles in any direction, and there's a hog barn, which is actually usually 2 to 3 barns. Some have 4 or 5. That's how massive they are. And so anyways, and these are all corporate owned, but I went to a meeting once. I was the only person in the whole township, me and my wife, that went to this meeting a couple of years ago. And they gave, you know, it was a period to, my understanding was that the papers were already signed and everything to build this thing. But it was a comment period that you go in before the county board, and we have a thing which I think should be illegal. There's only one guy in the whole environmental county thing that gives the thumbs up or down of whether one of these barns gets built or not. To me, that's like, you know, I mean, total payoff. I mean, because if you only have one person that gives the say-so, who, you know, and plus he's the mayor of the one town that we live near. He was the
Mike. I'm gonna try to say let's keep this one short because I have a hunch this is a long story.
Okay.
But well, and also let me and I'm gonna get back to you letting you finish it in a second. But I do want to say for you or for anyone out there who wants to get in contact with me after the show, you're welcome to email me. I'll do my best to respond. I can't promise to respond quickly, but I'll do my best. But my email is judith@farmandranchfreedom.org. That's judith@farmandranchfreedom.org. So, you know, I'm happy, like I said, I can't swear to respond that I'll respond right off, but I will do my best. But if you could give us the highlights of the story, Mike.
Okay. It's just, I felt as though they looked at me, one of the persons there is a big turkey processor, or turkey grower. The other one's for the pig factory. Then you get the mayor who sits on the county board, and they all looked at me like, you know, oh, you came from the city, now you live out here, and this, that, and the other. Like, I pay taxes, and I pay for what our house looks like and our property. We're probably paying 5 times more than we should be because our state, unfortunately, spends 51% of the money on education, and they are robbing us blind. And I feel like I have absolutely no say-so for what happens to the water. I mean, if you don't have water on your property, it's useless. It is absolutely useless to live on. You can't.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, the feeling that people don't have a say is a really common one. And it's really hard, and it's one reason people tend not to be activists, because they try, and they get, you know, up against a brick wall, and it feels hopeless. And no one's going to spend their time and energy on something that feels hopeless. You know, and there are a lot of things. You know, one of the keys is, you know, and this is easier said than done. I know it is. But don't go in there alone. Find other people who have a common cause with you and sit down and talk about how you can support each other and figure out a way to be to find other allies. It's a difficult process, but it's one which can succeed.
With the mindset out here, that I can't find, other than land stewardship, I can't find anybody to, because everyone out here is, they're either working at the pig plant or they're working in some form of agriculture, and being the fact that they know I'm from the city, I don't understand how things work out here. Well, I know this. If their water ran out of their property because of the pig factory, they'd be on top of the barn, you know, beating a drum.
Yeah, it's a difficult, and I'm not, like I said, it's just something I'm happy to follow up with you more, you know, on email,
right,
and with other folks. But so if you don't mind, I'm going to pull it back to the more general thing.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you so much for calling in. But Larry, I mean, you and I we've both had the experience of trying to figure out who can you talk to, who's going to be on your side, right?
Well, you know, we were kind of lucky to have you around here to, you know, help beat the drum and get people started.
Honestly,
course,
folks, I didn't pay him to say this. I'm not paying him to say any of this.
You know, thank goodness we did have you for that. But, you know, then we all kind of got together and just, you know, it seemed so, you know, when they started coming up with the NACE rules and all this kind of things like that, it seemed so foreign. I mean, at first, I didn't even want to believe it. I said, you tag all our animals? You got to be crazy. Then, you know, I don't do that. And then when you have those guys from the USDA stand up in front of you and say, oh, yeah, it's for real, all right. Then you get scared, and then you say, it's time to act. And so we pull together all these people and finally beat it through people's heads. You know, these guys want to take us out of business, you know, and for not really a good reason. So,
we'll pick up on this right after our break for the last segment of the show.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
There's a hole in the world tonight. There's a cloud of fear and sorrow. There's a hole in the world tonight. Don't let there be a hole in the world tomorrow.
Welcome to the final segment of the Food Rights Hour, brought to you by the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. You can visit us at www.farmtoconsumer.org. And the show is radio broadcast live at Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Central through the Republic Broadcasting Network. That website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. And, you know, we spent the last 2 hours talking with Larry Butler from Boggy Creek Farm, and I just have to say, first of all, how much I appreciate him joining me for my first time hosting the show. And really, I didn't pay him to say any nice things about him, me. You know, I didn't. But, you know, Larry, I mean, I've heard Carol Ann say more than once that the two hardest things about farming are in Texas, but I think this is probably true around the country, are the weather and the government.
This is true.
And
weather and government, that's the two hardest things about farming.
You know, what do you find more frustrating? If you had to pick one of those that caused you more headaches, which one would it be?
Well, I would think it'd be the government. I mean, the weather, hey, you know, that's Mother Nature. We signed up for that when we started farming. And, I got out of the real estate business because I thought it was too political. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to start farming, just grow food for people.
little did you
know. Get out of this bureaucracy stuff, you know, and oh my God, you talk about getting hit with it. But anyway, there's nothing I can do about Mother Nature, but, hopefully if we can get some of our political people to see the light on some things and some reasoning, get some reasoning in the government. Boy, is that an oxymoron. Get some reasoning in the government. Maybe things will be a lot better somewhere down the road. I certainly hope so because, you know, we keep feeding people good food. That's what we want to do. And, you know, none of us are really going to get rich doing this, you know, on these little farms and things. But so it's our desire and it's our love for doing the business. And that's why we're doing it. And if we can just, you know, be left alone a little bit, we'd appreciate it.
And I think, you know, that you speak for a lot of farmers. And I think also, you know, an image that a lot of consumers have of our movement, of just getting left alone. We're doing good things. We're raising healthy food. We're feeding our families good food. You know, this is all positive stuff.
Yeah.
Why should anybody want to interfere with us? And unfortunately, the reality is agribusiness does. And agribusiness has a lot of influence with the government. And if we want to protect our, you know, our goals and our dreams to raise good food and have healthy foods for our families, it's going to take pushing back. It's going to take people speaking up for it, which isn't what we signed up for, as you put it. But I think it's
exactly
what it's going
right.
to take.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, I guess we have to push back. And, you know, it takes a lot of enjoyment out of the business. I mean, it's a wonderful business, and we just love it. But it does, you know, the frustration with dealing with the bureaucracies and things like that just sort of taints it a little bit, I guess you could say. It just makes it a little more arduous and less fun and all of that. But we'll stay with it. We're gonna keep doing it. We're gonna keep fighting, and we'll be here.
You better stay with it because I'm not buying spinach from anyone else, Larry. So
thank you.
You have
I appreciate
to stay with
that.
It. And on that note, this wraps up this show. I hope everybody will join us next week. Kayla Daniel of the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund will be hosting next week's show. And look forward to talking with you all again when it's my turn to host. And Larry, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Judith.
Thank you. It's all black and white, and it ain't real clear. Is that you there? He said, yeah, I was 11.